Hi, I'm Emily Guerra. I'm 71 years old. Today's March 2nd, 2020. We're in Las Cruces, New Mexico at KRWG. And the name of my interview partner is Larry Flores, my cousin.
Hi, my name is Larry Flores. I'm 70 years old. Today is March the 2nd, 2020. We're in Las Cruces, New Mexico at KRWG radio station. And I'm with Emily Guerra. She's my cousin.
Okay, we start. Larry, you were very interested in the StoryCorps, and we got excited about wanting to talk about all of the Flores family members that have been in the military. You, tell me about you first. You were in the Navy.
Yes. I joined the Navy in March of 1969. I had gotten my notice to report to my draft notice. This was before the lottery. So I joined the Navy right away. My brother at the time, my brother David, was in Vietnam. So
it was the Vietnam era then?
It was the Vietnam era. So I went to Great Lakes, Chicago, or Illinois, to boot camp. Then I went to service school for 2 years in Dam Neck, Virginia. It was a guided missile school. After that, I was stationed for 4 years at in Charleston, South Carolina. It was called Palm Flat, or Polaris Missile Facility Atlantic. And there, I worked assembling and mating missiles, the Poseidon, the Polaris, and the Trident missiles. And I also did what they called arduous sea duty, where we transferred these missiles to Rota, Spain, and Holy Loch, Scotland. And these were for the IBM submarines. And I was honorably discharged in March of 1975.
Well, we've had a lot of members in both of our families in the military. I know that it's something very passionate for you. Why did you join the Navy?
Well, it was in the height of Vietnam. If I didn't join the Navy, I had gotten my notice to either report to the Marines or Army. At the time, guys were coming back in boxes from Vietnam. My brother was there. It was during the Tet Offensive, and it was a hard time. There was many guys, not many, but there was a few people that even went to Canada to get away from the draft. It was a tough time.
But I know that you were influenced a lot by your dad, Uncle Arthur.
Yes.
And several of our mom, I remember, talked about Uncle David as well. Let's talk about your dad.
Yes, let's talk about my dad. My dad, Arthur V. Flores, was born in Deming, New Mexico in 1918. He joined the service right after Pearl Harbor. And he was sent to he went to San Diego boot camp, but he went to school in Chicago. And I've got a photograph that appeared on the front page of the Chicago News. On the back of the picture, there's a stamp. And it's of him in his Navy uniform welding. After that, he was stationed in Pensacola, Florida, as an instructor, where he taught pilots and sailors how to repair airplanes. This was during the push in the Pacific.
Well, out of nine brothers and sisters, the guys, most of them went into the military, our uncles, my uncles, your dad. My dad was also in 1941, Guillermo Eduardo Willie Guerra. He was in the Army Air Corps before it was two different services. And he served in the Philippines and Guam and suffered a lot through that too. But let's go back to another influencer, which was, again, your dad, and then Uncle Benji was in 1941, also went into the military. Uncle Lalo couldn't because he had family, and then Uncle David.
Yes, we'll talk about Uncle Benji, or Uncle Ben, Benji, as he was well known. He was a radio man, and he was on a supply ship in the Pacific. And as, you know, listening to stories, the U-boats didn't go after the, like, so much after the aircraft carriers or destroyers. They went after the resupply ships first. And so I've got pictures that I found of him in the Navy.
Well, your dad was in the Navy also.
Also, yes.
Uncle David, though, was he in the Navy?
No, Uncle David was in Army Air Corps.
Like my dad.
Like your dad.
But he didn't make it back. That's something important to talk about.
Yes, and we're going to cover his story in a little while as we go along. But we wanted to more or less talk about family members.
Okay. Well, we've already talked about the uncles. We'll talk more about Uncle David as we go along. I mentioned my dad, Guillermo Eduardo Willie Guerra. And then now, currently, my niece served in the Navy, 1994 to 1997, Valerie Quintero Garza now. And then my nephew is in the Marines. He's been there 18 years. He'll be a master sergeant shortly, artillery operations chief, and he's seen Afghanistan and all. So we've had quite a mix of family members going to different. You also have nephews that have been in the military, all of them Hispanic, Latinos. How many Hispanics, Latinos have served in the military?
Well, Hispanic Americans answered the call to serve our country during World War II, Korean conflict, and Vietnam. Over 500,000 Latinos served in World War II and were recipients of every major U.S. military decoration of World War II. And I don't have the exact numbers for the Korean War or Vietnam, but I'm sure that they were also very high.
Well, we had a relative in the Korean War.
Yes, we had our cousin Billy Tafoya. He was in the U.S. Army from 1951 to 56, and he saw conflict in Korea.
And then his brother Henry was in the military also.
Yes, Henry was in the Air Force during 67 to 71, and he was a jet mechanic. And he also saw he was in Vietnam, and he did see some conflict.
Well, going back, you know, we've all Americans born here in the United States, Hispanic Americans, Latinos, Chicanos, however they want to be called. But I have family members that go back to World War I that served our country, proud to serve our country, proud to be an American, ready to go out and serve our country.
Yes, and we, you know, we're, you know, proud of all our relatives that have served. And I'm just going to talk about my immediate family. My brother David served during the Vietnam War. He was the Army Security Agency. He was a specialist, grade 5. He's a communication security specialist. He was in Vietnam from in 68 during the Tet Offensive. And he was discharged July 3rd, 1970. My brother Paul Flores was in the Navy also. From 72 to 76, and he was a corpsman, and he was stationed in Bethesda, Maryland, and then in Charleston, South Carolina also.
Now, your dad, let's go back to your dad, because he lived to be 100 years old. He just, passed away a year ago, and he served his country, came back after serving his country. What did he find?
Well, like many Hispanics coming back after the war, there was still a lot of discrimination. And he helped form Local 890, Mine Mill Workers of Salt of the Earth fame.
Well, that was something important, because I remember him talking about how he came back still being treated like, you know, second-class citizen, and that was important for him to start that mine mill union. And so people didn't even have running water, and of that film, many have seen that, The Salt of the Earth. But going back to, again, now we have other family members. Aunt Rebecca lived it as a military wife, because her husband was in the military for many years. Uncle Arthur Garcia, who was in the U.S. Air Force.
Right. Uncle Arthur Garcia was in the Air Force, and he was a Master Staff Sergeant.
And he was the first Master Staff Sergeant.
And he was the first ever Master Staff Sergeant in the U.S. Air Force. And he served during Vietnam. He joined the service in 1946, right after World War II. He saw through Korea and Vietnam.
So this has been in our families, our call to service, ready to serve our country. I almost went into the military in the 1970s, and I was told, oh, no, women aren't going to be engineers. I took the test, and I was going to, for the Air Force.
Wow. That's...
I wanted to go to the moon. Isn't that funny?
That's
but
great.
No, but I never did, so... But here I am, and you are too, and we've seen a lot with our families, and you want to stop? Because he was rattling.
Oh, sorry. I was just trying to get some of this paper, because we still have to talk about the rest of the Garcias and then the Vigils.
Okay, cool.
How much time do we have?
We've got around 28.
Okay, we have a lot of time.
Go ahead.
Okay, ready? Also, Uncle Arthur's sons, Richard Garcia, was in the Air Force from 1965 through 1970, and he he was in Vietnam also. Mark Garcia, who's a cousin, was in the U.S. Air Force. He was in E-4. He was in from 82 through 86.
He still works for the military, doesn't he?
I believe he works in Alamogordo, I believe, right, in some capacity.
And then our cousin Eddie Flores, Uncle Lalo's son, because Uncle Lalo couldn't, but Eddie was in the Navy.
Yes, Eddie also served in the Navy from 1970 to 74. And he was also, it was on the West Coast, so I believe he might have seen some... service in Vietnam.
Well, I know my dad got shrapnel in his knee and couldn't go dancing.
Yeah.
My mom wanted to go dancing, but because he had shrapnel, he couldn't. So we also have our Uncle Cito, Uncle Albert Vigil, who served during the time that your dad was also in the military.
Yes. Uncle Albert Vigil, he was in the 424th Heavy Bombardment Squadron. And he saw, in battles and campaigns, he was in the Central Pacific, China, Guadalcanal, New Guinea, Northern Solomons, Eastern Mandates, Bismarck, Alapagel, and Western Pacific, Southern Philippines, in Luzon.
It sounds like a lot of what my dad did. He was also in those same places, the Galapagos Islands and all the different places. And so then his son, David Vigil, also served in the Air Force.
Yes, he was in the Air Force during 68 to 74. One, and he also saw the Vietnam conflict.
And now let's save some time to talk about Uncle David Vigil Flores, who died in over London, wasn't it?
Well, no. Let's talk about let's set the stage. Battle of the Bulge.
What does the Battle of the Bulge mean to you?
Well, the Battle of the Bulge, it was the 75th anniversary this last December the 16th. It was in the Ardennes region of Belgium, and lasting 6 weeks from December 16th until January 24th, 1945. And it was Hitler's last major offensive in the World War II.
So where was Uncle David then?
Well, he was stationed in England. He was stationed in England, and I'm looking for the... He was in an air base near Ansley, England. And it wasn't until Christmas Day that the weather conditions finally cleared, allowing Allied air forces to strike. Okay.
Well, something which really comes to mind, and which your dad and your mom talked about a lot, about that Christmas Eve, that your dad was in Florida, and he was at a bar, and he said at the moment he's there, I know my brother just died.
Right. I mean...
How did he know?
Well, growing up...
They were very close.
Yes, they were my dad and his brother David. My dad was born in 1918. David was born in 1920. So there was 2 years difference, but they were very close. And we heard this story growing up all the time, but... Dad, it was Christmas Eve. He was stationed in Pensacola, and him and his friends had gone out. And he said that all of a sudden he looked up and he just felt something, and he knew, and he started crying, and his buddies asked him, what's the matter, Art? And he says, my brother just died. So he sensed that his brother had passed away on that Christmas Eve, 1944.
Well, not too long ago, well, it's quite a few years ago, but there was an article that came out in the Silver City Daily Press, and Aunt Rebecca was interviewed, Aunt Rebecca Flores Garcia, and she said, I was 14 when he went to war. He wrote to me. He always told me to take care of Mom and Dad. Dad received the telegram. He was at work at the Santa Rita store. He came home in the middle of the day. He never did that. He was crying. They passed the telegram down among the children. I was the youngest. I read it last. And what do you remember about your dad receiving information when your father died? When his brother died?
At the time, Mom and Dad had gotten married in October of 1944. And Mom was living with Grandpa and Grandma. And when they received the telegram, and so Mom was going to go join Dad. It was after Christmas in Pensacola. And when she got there, she said, Art, I have some bad news. And Dad said, I know. I already know.
And he hadn't received the notice.
No, he just
physically,
knew.
Yeah. Just spiritually.
Right.
So there's also from that... Another war, which is important, the Bataan March.
Oh, yes.
You had an uncle on your mother's side.
Yes, my uncle, Fred Archuleta. He was in the New Mexico National Guard. He joined in April 3rd, 1941. This was way before Pearl Harbor. But he died on the Bataan March. That was my.
And that's coming up. The memorialization of the Bataan March is coming up here in New Mexico.
Yes. So I.
When
hope,
is that?
I'm not sure when it's at.
I think it's coming up soon. But we had a lot of people here, a lot of relatives, family members, but also friends here in New Mexico. Your family from Grant County, my dad from Old Mesilla, New Mexico, and his cousins and different people. So, and then now my nephew, Guillermo Eduardo III, Eddie, and he joined right after 9/11, which is another pivotal or very important day in history, just as, you know, the, you know,
Pearl Harbor.
So he's been there now 18 years. So what else do we want to remember about and memorialize all of our families? What do you remember? Would you want to do that again?
Well, I would, yes, I would join again, you know, to service, to serve our country. You know, a lot of our family has always stood up and met the challenge, and I'm proud of all our family.
When you were in the service, because I know that a lot of Hispanic men or Mexicans from Mexico served during the war with our fathers and then became U.S. citizens. Our fathers were born here. They were already U.S. citizens. Our grandparents were U.S. citizens. What do you think of them denying a man or a woman that served our country to become a U.S. citizen?
I think that needs a change. If you give your life and service to the country, you should qualify to be a citizen, in my opinion.
So we'd like to thank...
You have 20 minutes left.
We still have 20 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've talked a lot. What else can... Okay, so there's all these questions, suggested questions. Well, we've done most of them.
Yeah, we kind of ran through them real quick. Is it off?
No, it's still going. You'll cut all this, right, that we're saying? Well, what about friends? Did you lose any friends in the military when you were there that were here from Grand County?
No, I was stationed in stateside on the East Coast. But a lot of high school friends never came back from Vietnam. We graduated in June of 1968. By September, a lot of guys were already in Nam, and some of them were already coming back in boxes. You know, it was sad. It was tough. You know, the country is going through a lot of turmoil at that time.
And then family members, you know, the wives. Now we have women going into into service, as my niece was in the Navy, but she met her husband, who was a Marine in San Diego, and they married, and now they're both educators. What do you think that you would tell a young person? Because we don't have the draft anymore. So should people be encouraged to join?
I believe that the military offers a lot of opportunity for education. Plus, I went to school on the GI Bill when I got back. And I'm currently covered for my medical through the VA. So that's a plus.
I think that was a plus for many veterans. And some veterans didn't get to use their benefits. I know my father came back from the war, and he went to Silver City to study at what is now Western New Mexico University. And then didn't finish, but he did study with the GI Bill, which is important. And I think a lot of our young people who are serving now have found that it's important.
Yes, I agree with you that, you know, it's an option that a lot of people need to look at. It gives you a place.
Well, do you think that what your dad gave you, he instilled that admiration and all that,
right,
to be able to serve our country, to serve our community because of his service in the unions. Actually, that became another type of service to the country.
Exactly.
And your mother.
Yes, my mother also... you know, she joined Dad in Pensacola, and I got a copy of her dependents' ID card. So she was always there to support us.
And supported him also in the union.
Yes. She was a member of the Women's Auxiliary, and she's immortalized on Alan Baker's book.
On the front cover,
on the
right?
front cover of her book. I forget the name of the book, but it's about the salt of the earth.
And the and serving it. So all of this, you know, people who serve in communities, services, all of this, and serving in the military is a community service. It's our country, which is so important.
I agree with you, yes. Sure, please.
Can you talk to me a little bit or with each other about what it means for you two both to have been part of a family that had such a strong, like, identity with the military? What does that mean for you carrying forward in your lives?
Asking that in a different way, but well, for me, you know, my dad, having been in the service, really instilled in us the fact that the importance of our country and to be able to serve and do community service as well as your dad. How do you feel?
Well, you know, we. When I joined, it was like I had to join, or, you know.
Well, you were being, you got drafted.
I was drafted. I was being drafted.
It was different than what your dad and my dad and our uncles did.
Right.
They weren't drafted. They went in because they wanted to go and take care of our country.
Right. And it was a bit different for us. I mean, it was the mid-60s, 70s, and the country was changing, and you know, there was a lot of anti-war movement, and places, a few, like, went maybe to New York City. They said, oh, maybe don't wear your uniform, because people would actually, you know, spit at you, or
well, that was the Vietnam era.
That was
the
Vietnam era.
Yes, very sad time.
But when I was in Europe and Scotland, people just loved the GIs in Holyrock, Scotland, and a lot of the sailors found wives there and brought them back to the
States.
So
they married people from another country.
Yes,
and just like I know that. People, they learn to live with another race, like,
yes,
you know, whites and blacks work
right
together, and Hispanics or Latinos work
right
together. And but coming back, what really stays in my mind is what your dad and my dad said the same thing, coming back and being treated again like a second-class citizen.
Right.
And I know that one time, even wearing his uniform, he was stopped. Your dad was crossing the street.
Right.
You tell the story because he told it.
Right. He was going back to Pensacola after leave, and he was in Dallas, Texas. And he tried going into a bar and getting a beer, and they wouldn't serve him. And some of his friends were there, and they all just got up and left the bar. But Dad was shocked, to say the least. I was in Charleston, South Carolina, from in the early 70s. And even today, it's very conservative. There wasn't many Mexicans there. There's no Mexican restaurants, to say. And so... It was a challenge.
And then I remember Uncle Benji talking about when he was, because he was very fair. He looked like Anglo, and some of the Mexicans or Hispanics or Latinos didn't know he spoke Spanish. So they'd be speaking Spanish in front of him. And he remembers telling the story that, and then he would know what they were saying and then tell them, no, yo soy Latino, I'm Latino, Mexicano. Right. So, and he was a radio
operator.
Right. You know, I think maybe I was influenced because I'm in radio now, being a radio operator. And Uncle Lalo working, he wasn't in the military, but he worked on radios and TVs.
Right.
So that was... Do we have time? Is that it? Can we stop now?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome, Primo.